Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Our Love cast. I'm your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I am joined, as always, by my husband and co-host.
The Kev on Stage.
I don't know why that made me laugh today. If you're new to the Love Hour, thank you so much for joining us today. The Love Hour is the podcast that we talk where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. We talk about real life events. We draw on our own personal experiences, and sometimes we draw on pop culture.
Yes, we do.
So today is going to be more of a pop culture topic. But before we get into that, we always start with a this or that.
That question. Or this with Kev and Liz. Why are you fighting it?
Because I created the title and the name.
And nobody likes it.
No, you're the one who started the change.org petition.
The comments are with me.
You started the petition.
Do a poll on the Love Hour
Can you do story. That?
Serena, do a poll on the Love Hour story and say, should we call it this or that and this with Kevin Liss? And whatever the people decide, we'll move forward with that. Henceforth, now and forevermore.
It's time for that or this with Kevin Liss.
Today's That or This with Kevin Liss is this.
Pick my side, people.
Would you rather fly middle seat, main cabin,
okay,
back row, international, Delta Airlines to London, or
middle Oh, that was all one.
That's all one.
Okay.
Or your favorite seat on a two-hour flight on Spirit.
Oh, my.
He's
the S word.
I know.
I met a Spirit flight attendant. Oh, were you on the road with us this weekend? She was so nice.
Aww.
But she was in line flying Delta.
That's funny.
With her Spirit uniform on.
That is hysterical.
She was like, yeah, we do this sometimes to help each other out. She's like, I seen your little video. I was like, what? I never made it. I did make it.
Okay, what are you choosing, Melissa? Am I choosing...
You want me to remind
no, no,
you?
I know the options. Hold on. I am probably going with long-term comfort.
So the London?
I'm going with London middle
10
seat.
Hours.
Yeah.
10 hours. Over 2 hours on Spirit.
Oh, wait. I have it backwards in my head. Say the thing again.
International.
LA
to London.
Middle seat on Delta.
Main cabin. Back row. Near
back row doesn't make a difference for me.
You're all tiny.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference for
me. Okay. That doesn't. I'm like, who cares? I don't care.
10 hours.
Okay.
London Heathrow. What up, UK? Or a 2 hour flight on Spirit. Whatever seat you want.
So the option is, which would I rather do?
Yes.
Okay. So I would rather. What's wrong with Spirit? Their seats are like this.
Everything.
Huh? Where am I flying from? London to where? Like San Diego or Las Vegas?
LA to London.
No, on Spirit.
From LA to Seattle, 2.5 hours.
Oh, I'm just going to Seattle.
2.5 hours.
Oh, I'll take Spirit. It's fine. I'll live.
Would you?
Yeah, because it's not that uncomfortable. This is the thing. But
it is.
No. See, this is the thing. Number one, because I am a woman and I am tiny, I'm usually in the middle seat anyway.
Sexist.
And I'm all. No, this is a fact. And this might be sexist, though, but it's still a fact. Men are very inconsiderate and they sit with their legs wide open and their arms like this.
She's not talking about men. She's talking about man. Me being man.
Yes, facts.
We got balls.
I don't care.
We can't close our legs.
You need to care. I'm not done.
You got a line. You can put your legs together. We got balls. The balls be like, I need to be out.
So then that means I'm uncomfortable. So that means technically even when I'm on Delta, when I'm sitting next to you, I'm really on Spirit anyway.
I'm literally sitting like you just described
And the seats on airplanes are way closer. Mm-hmm. So I end up, and then there's always a man right here. This is why... I don't know if you guys know this story, but when I went to go visit whoever, it doesn't matter. I had the window seat, mm-hmm, and a man comes in. He sits in the aisle seat, and then this other guy comes in and he sits in the middle seat. And in that moment, I was like, really, Melissa, you should switch seats with him, because I know. But literally, this is a conversation I had with myself. They're huge dude. Well, one of them was kind of, he was like a middle-aged white dude. He was kind of big. The other guy was kind of big-ish, but I'll tell you who it was in a minute. So anyway, I'm like, I should switch with him. They're going to be so uncomfortable. It's so much easier for me to sit in the middle so they can have space. Literally, that's a thought. And then I was like, no, I am not. I'm going to sit right here. I paid for my seat. I bought my ticket early. I chose the seat. I deserve to sit here. But literally, I had to have that conversation with myself.
Why would you think about their comfort? You don't know that,
man. I'd just be trying to be nice. But as it turns out, the man who was in the aisle, I told you this, was Mace.
Mace and Betha.
Mace, 90s
main cabin.
R&B legend or hip-hop legend. Mm-hmm. Sitting there, and so when we were about to take off, he's like, "So you're the one who got the window seat?" And I was like,
"Yep." And what, Harlem World?
I did. Now Harlem Shake to that. I was so excited that I did not like switch, but literally, that's like
so funny that that thought even crossed your mind. Then people could have been 700-pound men.
Battled not doing it for a good probably 3 to 4 minutes.
Let me tell you how long I would have battled. Never thought about it. That thought, you thought about something for 4 minutes.
Yes.
That the thought would, my outer mind chilled would have been like, boy, you crazy. That is not my problem. Y'all got to be uncomfortable. But I'm also big.
Yes.
But also paid my money.
Yeah.
I wish you would.
Are you choosing?
Spirit is like if jail had seats that flew, that would have that amount of comfort. No comfort.
There is no comfort.
Their little tray is like a little trough for feeding. No Wi-Fi. No snack situation.
No snack.
No comfort at all.
No.
I would rather walk to London than fly Spirit for free. I would rather sit in the bathroom the entire flight from LA to London. Have other people have to come in leave.
But the Spirit
time.
Flight is only 2 hours.
I don't care. I would have to step out. Somebody goes and poops. You can go back in. I would go in with the poop smell and be like, wow, that's a lot of broccoli for a person. Sit in that bathroom seat than to fly for free on Spirit.
That's a strong conviction.
I had the absolute worst flight ever.
On Spirit.
In Spirit's defense, I had no idea how they worked.
Yeah,
they're a low-cost airline made for small, thin people who have no clothes to travel with. The only way I'd go on Spirit
is that part of their marketing campaign?
If you're under 112 pounds, we are for you. My butt didn't recover for the 2-3 days. I put it in my rider. If you fly me on Spirit, I'm not coming.
You should. For that, you should.
Yes.
Because that's just disrespectful.
I had to help them jumpstart the plane.
I had to pull
my car around. I plugged up the red and black cord. They opened up the engine. I plugged it up to my Toyota. I was like, this, I didn't even know they had the same thing. They was like, let it run for 10 minutes. They turned the airplane on, and then I still had to pay full price. Parked my car back at the airport just to give the plane a job.
That's so stupid.
Sorry, Spirit. Your flight attendants
are very
nice. Hit us
up, Spirit. We want to be your brand ambassador.
No, what?
To tell
they
you,
couldn't pay me enough.
Tell you how to fix your stuff.
They couldn't pay me enough.
But Delta hit us up for
now,
real.
Now, Delta, holla at your boy.
Delta hit it. No, I want them to hit us up. They
the
have
only
it.
Thing I have to say nice about Spirit is the flight attendants are great.
They have to be because they know they're about to deal with complaining people all day who just got nickeled and dimed their way into the seat to begin with.
And I'm sorry, Spirit, but I'm not sorry.
Cue Demi Lovato. Okay. I love that song. Okay, so that's your final answer?
Yes.
I'm still sticking with Spirit.
Yeah, you're tiny.
Yeah, and I'm always uncomfortable on planes, no matter what.
Yeah, you live that uncomfortable life. Yeah, let me tell you what. I've been, this is a little, I'm going to just take a little second here. I was flying with the guys on tour.
Okay.
And I was like, man, when I fly by myself, Delta was always bumping me out to first class.
And
I
what
said,
you do?
Hey, I called Diamond Medallion because you
say?
Know we got a special line.
And how long they got to call you?
Oh,
how long?
1 minute they got to answer.
They got
a
whole
60
seconds.
And I be timing my phone.
You do too.
43 seconds. Hello, Mr. Fat. It almost was a minute. Y'all was finna talk to somebody on the Diamond Medallion. I said, hey, Diamond people, why ain't been getting bumped up? This is how I hold myself. Hey, why ain't been getting bumped up? Oh, Mr. Fredericks.
You got to move the rope, Kev, the court.
Looks like you've been traveling with a group of people, and basically, I'm not going to hold this up the whole time. Basically, the way it works is we try to bump your entire group up. If we can't bump your entire group up, then we don't.
No
bump
one gets
anybody.
A bump up.
I called them and said, remove me from them.
No, they you called not, me.
No, I'm talking about the ones we already had.
Oh.
I called them, take me out. Put Tony, Josh, Doughboy, the rest of them on their own.
On the regular.
I said, Lissa, when you book the travel, separate your boy so I could get upgraded. I get on before Tony to hear Josh and them.
They does walk, he, Joshua? Oh,
they walk past me. I've got champagne and a flute.
Oh, wait, hello. Joshua, what is your status?
Yeah, they changed it. I think he's gold, though.
Yeah.
But he sits in Comfort Plus.
If I'm not Comfort Plus, then I would be Sky Power. I'd be in the Sky Power.
Got you.
Yeah, Delta split it out.
Yeah, they did.
They was like, we need some more separation.
Yeah, they did start. Yeah.
But, yeah, and I, it was a little selfish, but also not selfish at all. Because that was my situation with you and Mace. But, I felt bad. I was like, man, I want to sit with the guys. But they, and then I sat in first class, and I was like, ah. I mean, if somebody, if one of us could do it, they would want me to have this.
Oh, that's funny.
So anyway.
That so that's your. That.
Yes.
Okay. So today, that was funny. Thank you for the question, Kevin. You've You're been welcome. Coming up with good ones.
I'll take over that or this if you'd like.
Okay. You can.
Okay.
I think you come up with good ones. Tish, by the way, who's our graphic designer, just sent me the Love Hour flyer.
Sweet.
I'm
posting
super
it
excited.
After.
Yeah. I'll post it after.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, today what we're going to be talking about is the TV show This Is Us,
mm-hmm.
specifically the R&B episode.
Yes, which aired last Tuesday.
Correct.
And concluded a season-long arc that was heavy on Beth and Randall's marital troubles.
It was.
And very much enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable to watch. And just honestly, shout out to the writers. To tackle a subject that is...
Nuanced!
It's so nuanced. It's so real life. And shout out, honestly, who, by the way, we saw Randall today. We got
Sterling K. Brown was with us at Global Entry. Melissa attacked me because I was looking at my phone.
He's always on his phone. He never sees stuff.
Kev.
He walks through the door and we're literally like sitting like this and he opens the door and the door is like literally right there. So I'm looking down. He comes in and I look up, look at him, look down. And then I'm like, nope, that was Sterling K. Brown. Look up again. So I looked up again and was like, and so he just kind of smirked like, yeah.
She
so,
stabbed me in the leg with a prison
so
shank.
He like grabs his son. I go, I'm like, and so he's just looking. I'm like, so finally he got to see.
He black guy head nodded me.
Yeah.
First of all, the whole waiting room recognized
I know.
Him. Super awkward for him.
It was.
It was I like you.
The guy
I,
was
this
like,
is us. I like, I watch it.
Do you have an appointment? He says, yes. What's your last name? He's like, Brown. And then someone's like, I love your show, by the way. Me too. We watch.
I felt so awkward for him. And there was all white people in there, too.
Yeah, it was.
And that's so, legit famous.
So anyway, he ended up being taken to a private room. And for whatever reason, I had to go to like the herded room with all the other people, and Kev got to go to the secret room as well and got
diamond
to spin.
Medallion.
Global Entry does not have diamond medallion.
And I shook his hand and I said, hey man, big fan of I've loved everything you ever acted in. You're my favorite actor. And he was like, oh, thanks, man. You're gonna make me cry. And I was like, ah, stir. Don't cry. And I gave him a hug. And I rubbed him on the head and I said,
I literally can't.
But it was super weird because we just binged the whole season.
Literally.
And then he just walked in. By the way, physically fit.
He's super strong.
He gave the full black man dap up. I did the back pat. His back was like, what's up? And I was like, wow, you're pretty much stronger. But it was super cool.
So just random aside.
And I decided this is a little dark, but I don't mean it to be. People admire, I'm never going to ask for a picture, hardly ever, but if I admire you, I will say what's up and say, because I met Nipsey, I did Black Guy Head Nod with Nipsey at the airport one time, mm-hmm. and I should have said, you know what, man, I admire what you're doing, and when he passed, I was like, I missed that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So for Sterling, I was like, I'm not missing that opportunity. I never groupie out or anything like that, but if I really like your work, I will tell you, hey, man, hey, woman, hey, woman sounded bad. But hey, person, I lock it.
Yeah, that's nice. Rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. Okay, so the... episode, okay, so this season's arc, so I'm going to try to, like,
truncate it,
and then we can kind of get into it.
Okay.
So, over the course of the season, in case you're unaware of the show, which, if you are, I highly recommend that you watch these things, this episode, or this season particularly, was really good. So, anyway, Sterling K. Brown plays Randall. He is married to...
Susan Kalechi Watson.
I knew he was going to do it. That's why I just pointed to him. And her name is Beth in the show. And he Randall is going through, he's going through kind of a lot of life transitions, trying to find himself, trying yes. to make sure that he honors the legacy of his biological dad and his adoptive father. Mm-hmm. So in the course of trying to honor their legacy, he finds himself doing these different things. He bought like a hotel.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, we are going to talk about it.
Oh, yes.
If you haven't seen the episode, seasons, if you need to watch it, do what you got to do.
Turn this off here now.
We're talking about all the episodes. Yeah. The season just ended last night, so we're talking about all the episodes up until now.
Yes, okay. So that was very good.
Thank you.
Very, very good. Spoiler alert. Don't be mad. Cut this off now. Turn on something else. like Asuka or Righteous and Ratchet. He's trying to honor the legacies of his bio dad and his adoptive father. So in this particular season, he is trying to honor his... adoptive. Okay.
Because he was saying his dad took action and he wanted
that's to right thank you action. You're absolutely yeah. right. So he's trying to honor his adoptive father. So he goes to the city and he realizes that there's some things in the city that need to be changed and revised and, like, you know, just brought up to par. Potholes, different things. So he's talking to the city councilman. He doesn't do anything, hasn't done anything for all of these years. So he decides, I'm going to run. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Such a dreamer.
Yes. At the same time that this is happening, Beth gets fired.
Yep.
Kind of around the same time period. Beth gets fired from her job. So while she is fired, she's trying to find herself, and he's like, she's not really having any luck finding a job. So he's like, join my my campaign trail. And she's like, okay. So she does that. She joins the campaign trail, and how she ends up changing.
She was giving him a lot of ideas.
Okay.
And he said all her ideas were good.
Oh, this was such a good point. So she's giving him all of these like campaign ideas. He's talking to his actual campaign manager, and the campaign manager and Beth don't get along.
Right.
Ooh, child. So they don't get along. And because of that tension, he, meaning Randall, has to decide who he's going to side with.
Yeah.
He chooses his wife, rightfully so. But the problem was that he chose her even in times when she was wrong.
Yes.
And so she overhears this conversation. So she confronts him about it. And she's like, hey, you know, like, are you saying my ideas are spectacular, was the word that he used, or stupendous, because they're good ideas or because I'm your wife? And he didn't really say, but kind of basically said, it's because you're my wife. And she was hurt because she was like, that hurts because I never would have thought, like, I actually thought you thought my ideas were really great. Mm-hmm. So then she realizes, oh, like, I don't really belong here, whatever. So she decides to pursue her childhood dream, which is dance. Mm-hmm. She starts taking on weekends. She starts taking on nights. She starts taking up all of this time that they don't have, where she's at dance. Now he needs to pick up the slack as far as the home is concerned, and it causes
because
tension.
He's also traveling an hour and a half each way.
Yeah,
so
they don't
have
live
a strain of distance, new work, long hours,
yeah,
you know, extended because of time
and money.
They have money problems,
and they have money problems because she's no longer making the money that she was making, and he's no longer making before. Yeah,
they were both balling.
And so they have this heated conversation, and she says, our relationship only works when I bend for mm-hmm. you. And what else does she say? Something like, I've always adjusted what I've wanted for you, and you allowed me to do that. Mm-hmm. And he had this moment, and I was like, first of all, I was all on the Beth train. And then he had this moment, and I was like, well, now I don't know who's right. So he responds, basically, I don't know what part of this revisionist history you're in, mm-hmm. but that's not how I looked at it. What you're basically saying is that you allowed me to walk all over you, and you're not even that person. You're not that woman. Mm-hmm. When did that happen?
Our relationship is built on you being the head of this family.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden for 20 years, I walked all over
right.
you.
Right. And it ended up being, so as I was watching, I was we were invited to go to the screening, and I watched this scene and was like, Lord Jesus, I am Beth.
And I am Randall.
And Kevin is Randall.
Without the abs.
And somehow they have plucked moments from my life and put it in the show, and I'm rewatching this.
And here's the other thing about that. Not only was it like our life exactly, at the beginning of the show, their marriage was perfect.
Sure.
Everybody else in the show is having problems. Like, mm-hmm. he's had personal problems,
sure.
but their marriage was perfect. But as the time went on,
sure.
the chinks started showing the yes. armor, which is very reminiscent of our marriage. People think, oh, it's perfect, it's perfect. But this last year, this last transition from both full-time jobs mm-hmm. to, you know, full-time Kevin Stage Studios has been a difficult transition. And this is like our season
sure.
three of Beth and Randall.
Okay, so... That was, I hope that was short enough. I felt long, but tell me some, so as we're watching this, what we want to do today is just kind of divulge or like talk about how you would feel as Randall, how I have felt in Beth's position. Mm-hmm. And, if we can figure out like a path forward, the only thing that, we were just talking about this kind of before we started, the cameras turned on, and that is that, the writers dealt with something that is so nuanced, mm-hmm. or maybe we said at the beginning of the show, I don't remember. Okay. Something that's so nuanced, something that is so real. And then it was wrapped up in like a really pretty bow in the season finale. I really hope that it is something that is approached again next season
yeah.
because in real life, it isn't always, Beth called it a door, mm-hmm. meaning the solution. Like, how do we figure this out? What is the door to get us past this moment? That always doesn't happen in real life. And even if you come to an agreement or a compromise, there still could be remnants that come up later. So I hope that this is something that comes up later.
I think it's just designed to start the conversation, but not show you every day the work that you have to do to sure. get to that point. Like,
so,
they just couldn't end the season without that being resolved.
Oh, I think they could have, but
no,
you're right.
Couldn't.
I know the writers were getting death threats and
a thing like that. You have to soothe the audience to let them know it's going to be okay.
I don't want to be soothed. Okay. So tell me
I'm gonna tell you the first thing. So this season is about finding yourself without losing your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we should focus on. Like, okay. And I think the thing that we both struggle with is finding ourselves in life
mm-hmm.
and how that affects your marriage. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that we really struggled with is when I found my true love for stand-up comedy mm-hmm. as a job, right, was when I got fired.
Sure.
I got fired from KeyBank, and you just expected me naturally go find another job.
Mm-hmm.
Take the safe route. You just expected that. And I had never communicated to you fully what I really wanted to do, because every time up until that point, entertainment was just a hobby. So our first.
Can I stop you?
Yes.
I just got a revelation, or not a revelation, but something that we always say. And it's so true in this very moment that you're talking. That revelation is the number one advice that I always give, and we always give to couples when they're getting married, is the expectation that nothing will stay the same. And also expect everything, or expect everything to change, and also expect nothing to change. Like, both
of
those things.
Nothing to change and nothing to stay the same.
Exactly, because both of those things can be true. And so when we first got married, I was in a position of everything will stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a full-time job. You are a full-time employee. And together we are people of 9 to 5 that will climb the corporate ladder. You get fired. And now this is a transition for you. And to me, yes, it's a transition, but also we're going to get back in line to the plan
mm-hmm.
that is 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will remain the same. You'll have a new job. But I mean, overall, the big picture is he's going to get another job.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, yeah, but no.
And the funny thing is, that was never my plan.
Right.
I never was going to work no full-time job my whole life.
And that is
messed up corporate America.
But that's a source of contention, because if my vision is this and yours is never.
And neither of us actually ever vocalized that.
That's what I'm saying.
We just expected it to continue the way it was going. And then when that happened, that's when it was like, oh, wait, you're not going to get a job.
Thing,
I'm like, well, I'm going to get a job.
Same thing with Beth and Randall. And the funny thing about her bending comment to me, because mm-hmm. that's also what happens, because I'm like, oh, he's not going to get a job? Well, that's kind of different and not what I expected. But I'll bend a little bit, you know, for this. And we'll make this accommodation
mm-hmm.
For this. It's not a compromise. I'm not really getting anything out of it. I recognize this is important to you. It's not really what I expected, but we're going to make this accommodation. And then when Beth wants her opportunity or her turn to make, like, I want to now follow my dreams. And you are like, but I just won the councilmanship or whatever it's called. I'm just won the state council. Like, I need city council. And so I need you to not be working nights. I need you to not be working weekends. I actually need you to support like you've always been. And she's like, nah, bro, that's not what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. Again, that's same. And now everything is different.
Oh, my God. That just makes so much sense.
What are you saying?
Because he, in their relationship, she was always that. And what happened was somewhere along the way in her life, that normal wasn't normal anymore. Even before she got fired. Because remember, she was talking to Randall's dad and he was like, you've been playing the bass in y'all relationship, which is the backbone of the, of your relationship. Mm-hmm. And people appreciate that. But you need to take your turn as the soloist.
As the trumpet.
And play the trumpet. And that's what happened in her life. And that's what happened in your life. Mm-hmm. Now, if we go back in our marriage, you remember Little Black Dress?
Yes.
We're in Washington. You guys may not know this. Melissa was grasping for something. She wanted to start the Little Black Dress, which was a it was a business website where she was going to sell little black dresses for women. And basically, the core of that was you wanted to help women.
Yep.
You wanted them to be able to find a dress to go out on a mm-hmm, date or mm-hmm. by themselves or whatever.
What's yeah, yeah.
So we bought a business license. She took a trip to LA.
I just got a new thing about that. Okay. I'm going to let you finish. But I really have been circling around this idea of like kind of what I'm doing right now forever. And not really like honing in on what I'm doing now. So the point of Little Black Dress was actually my Sex Me Over campaign, mm-hmm. which was my husband wants to take me out on a date. I don't have anything to wear. The only thing I have to wear are either church clothes or work clothes. Mm-hmm. Neither one of which is what I want to wear out on a date with my husband. Mm-hmm. Women should have a little black dress in their closet that's appropriate for a funeral, a date night, church, a cocktail party. And that's what spawned that. And
yes.
I just wanted to say I've been lost for a long time, child. That's all.
Then you were selling weed for a little bit. Which was just random.
I think Noah was just in it.
We y'all want to sell some weed? Yeah. All right. Then y'all bought some weed and then you sold it. And they were like, all right, we done with that. So people kept buying the weed and then return and then saying, we never got our weed.
It only happened one time.
Okay. But you sold weed for a little bit. And then you stopped both of those. And what I think happened with the same thing that happened with Beth and you, she got laid off. Mm-hmm. She got fired. You got laid off. Mm-hmm. So now your comfort thing is now gone. Mm-hmm. And that really forced you to be like, what do I really want to do mm-hmm. with my life? Do I really want to continue down this path or do I want to go a different way? And it's actually happened in our marriage a couple of times mm-hmm. because when we first got married prior to the boys, you were stage manager for the plays. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, that was us. I'm performing and you're working closely with me. You got Zay. I have a baby. I have to take care of him. He cries. So and you're like, hey, I can't go to rehearsal. I was like, why? You're like, because the baby. You're like, nobody care about that baby. Put him down in rehearsal. So then I feel like, dang, she can't, you know, so that changes our dynamic in my mind. But what I wanted to say, and this is the thing about Beth and Randall that I think is important. You have a thought of your life mm-hmm. personally. You have a thought of your marriage. A lot of times that thought goes unspoken.
Yes.
But it goes expected. I expect you somehow through osmosis to understand something I never say. And you expect me to understand something you never say. And when we don't, it causes tension because like in the show, what happens is I don't communicate my stuff clearly. I just expect you to understand me Absolutely. Because it makes so much sense in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I want you to get on board and vice versa. And what happens is when you, because in the show, they communicate clearly.
They do communicate pretty clearly.
And we don't communicate clearly yeah. in marriage. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to get so frustrated with you because you were like, we don't ever talk. You don't ever talk. This is before you figured out it was vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You just never talk to me. So I'm like, wow, I'm talking. We talk all the time. We talk every day. So my first answer, I don't know if you remember this. I'm going to come home and plug my phone up mm-hmm. so we can talk. Right. Did that. It didn't work. No. And I'm like, man, we talking all the time. I was like, do you want to take a walk and talk? What you were really saying is you don't share your fears with me.
Right.
So I don't feel connected.
Right.
But what you actually said sure. is we don't talk.
Sure.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? We talk every day. We talk deep into the night. We have great conversations. Mm-hmm. But you didn't communicate clearly.
Sure.
And I didn't understand what you were really saying until you really said, I need you to be vulnerable. This is how. And then I'm like, oh, you mm-hmm. want to know my deepest, darkest secrets and my fears. And that's what we had to do. And then we finally crossed that bridge. But in the shows, they communicate clearly. Mm-hmm. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. So one thing I want to say that I saw very clearly in myself and Randall in our marriage is this. When I found stand-up comedy, Mm-hmm. It was like Randall finding the city council.
Okay.
This is what I want to do, and I want to throw myself into it. I was performing 4 or 5 times a week in Washington and working full time, trying to be a father, trying to take my kids to school and practice. But I loved stand up. But that now required me to leave the home on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday night, pretty much every week for a year or two. This bothered you. Mm-hmm. You never really said anything about it.
What is interesting that I just had a thought about, though, is that that was a bend. Because when I look back on that time, I realized that we had a discussion about I want to do stand up. We didn't have a discussion about what that would actually look like. Mm-hmm. So I didn't fully understand what I was signing myself up for. So I ended up resenting stand up. The show that occurred on Thursdays, I don't know if I can say it, but the show that occurred on Thursdays in Tacoma, because it took you away from home every single week.
Every Thursday.
And I was at home with the kids working a full-time job.
And I was working a full-time job too at this time.
No.
Yes.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
Where?
Before I got fired. Boeing.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, time. Melissa, because when I quit and Zay Zay had Little Rascals, I still was working there.
I know. I'm not talking about the time at Boeing. I'm talking about the time directly after getting fired. You skipped and went straight to there.
To the end. Okay.
So
I'm talking about when I found your diary. That was towards the end of that whole thing.
Who brought up a diary? Nobody said that until just then.
I was going to. That's the part of the relationship I'm talking about.
So wait a minute. This is an unexpected, this is an unspoken expectation, because you're talking about something I was talking about, what you was talking about, then you was like, I'm talking about the diary. Well, nobody brought up the diary.
I was fin too.
We weren't there yet.
Okay.
The point is that before you started working full time,
yes.
We did not have a discussion.
No.
It took you away from the house every single week. Mm-hmm. And I was the person working full time, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would come home, cook, do all the things, and then you would leave and go to the comedy show.
Yep.
Now you don't want to say no.
No, absolutely not. But the point I was saying was I was finding myself in my life, but it was causing a rift in our marriage.
Because I didn't, that was the point that I was making, that I didn't understand what I was all the way signing up
yes.
for. And you were talking about unspoken expectations.
Yes. So now you want to change your mind because you're like, oh, you was trying to do stand up. Like I thought you was going to do a show here and there.
Right.
You talking about every single Thursday. Like I didn't miss for 2 years, maybe longer than that. And that's just the Thursday show. Mm-hmm. I had Friday shows. I had Saturday shows. Mm-hmm. I had Sunday shows. So what?
And actually, by the time you started having like Friday, Saturday, whatever shows, it was you had started working. That's mm-hmm. when you started working at Boeing. When you weren't working at Boeing, you were just working out material, mm-hmm. and you would be gone for 3 and 4 hours. You know, it's comedy shows, you can yeah. be gone. And then I'm at work, and then the next day they're posting flyers from the event, and it's you and all these girls and having a great time and cheersing up and my number one fat and hashtag.
Boy.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
When I tell you she saw these pictures, which is just me,
they were
scantily clad women. It was like a club comedy show type thing. So they dressed like they were going to the club. She checked out these tag photos. Oh. Oh, so you funny now. Oh, they love you. Oh, I'm your number one fan.
Oh Kev
on groupies. Groupie group. Oh, Melissa, I'm your number one fan. They had a hashtag.
They had a hashtag, and it used to drive me insane. Number one, can we step right here for just a minute? We're going to go there.
Okay.
Let me just have this conversation with y'all real quick, because I've been wanting to have it for 5 years anyway. And so since we're here, we're just going to stay here. Number one. Okay, let's start at number one. It is disrespectful, period, for any woman. I don't care. And I love Will Smith. I think he is fantastic. If he is standing here with his wife, I don't even want to say it because I just feel like that would be so disrespectful and I would just never do it. But the nerve to just be like, hi, I love you, yada, 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 and not even acknowledge his wife. And a lot of times that's what happens. Even when Randall's dad was talking about the bass, he was saying that it's the thing that keeps everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what happens is the man gets propped up and he's the one doing all these things, and he's the city councilman, and look what he's doing, and the wife is in the background, happy to be there, but also needs a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Also needs a I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Because while you're out taking pictures with all these scantily clad women talking about they're your number one fan, when you came home today, there was dinner for you in the microwave that all you had to do was hit 2 minutes on the microwave, and then it was done.
I honed it.
That's the part that I think is so that Beth was talking about.
Yes.
All of these years, and I've had this conversation with you, all of these years, I have supported you, mm-hmm. and I have bent, and I have turned, and I have accommodated. And this one time, she likes dance in the show. I want to dance. I want to be a ballerina. I want to pursue my childhood dream. And you were telling me, I'm a councilman and I need you not to do that because you're taking up all of your time with teaching these women how to dance. And I need you to be at home with the mom because otherwise I can't do all the things. And this is why I was like, I am Beth.
Yes.
And the problem, last thing. The problem is that as women, we believe that part of wifedom, I just made it up, but it's a word now, that part of wifedom is sacrificing to the point of unrecognizing yourself. I just made that up right
now.
That's
good. And you know what else?
We got to go to this ad.
Okay.
Finish.
You've been cutting me off this whole episode.
I'm sorry. I do mean I apologize.
You, and you, I'm going to let you finish. You don't let me finish.
I don't. You know why I got amped up?
No! I want to talk to you! This is why you need for women only. You just be wanting to talk. You don't want me to say nothing. You just want to bounce some ideas off me and shut your mouth, Kel. You want me to trigger ideas for you, and then you say the stuff, and I don't get to say no things.
Don't say none of the things. You've been saying all the things. Go.
One of the things about unrecognizability, I think that... made it easier for you to do that is growing up in the military.
Tell me, start over. I got lost.
When you sacrifice for your husband all the time to the point of unrecognizability, that happens to military wives all the time.
Got you.
The husband goes to the field. The woman can never even keep a job mm-hmm. and grow her career because they're moving around.
Sure.
The husband's career is rising all the time.
Sure, sure, sure.
The woman could have a great job in this city, that city, whatever, and you can't do that. So you saw your mom do that. Mm-hmm. She can never go any further than her career, so she has to throw herself into the kids. And what happens is marriages, whether you're in the military or not, your husband does all this stuff. You remember at the bank how fast you were rising mm-hmm. before you had the kid, Zay? When you had Zay, you miss work.
It didn't start over again until after I had Joe, actually.
Yeah. So men never have that
My
problem.
My next promotion was after I had Joe.
Men never have that problem. You have the kid. I miss much less work. It never slows me down. So now you see him rising, rising, rising. You end up falling back. Now you don't even recognize yourself. And at some point, whether it's in the beginning of your marriage or much more likely later, like it was for Beth and for you, you've been doing this for 10, 15 years. You realize if I don't stop this eventually, I'm going to resent you, the mm-hmm. person. It's me not doing what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why Beth said, you let me. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't stop and do something that allowed me to be myself.
In couples, you fall into a routine of habit.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked this question actually on Instagram, who was more wrong? And people were like, it was Randa because he sent the voicemail, mm-hmm. which that voicemail was cold-blooded. But also, she said some pretty cold-blooded things too. But what you have to understand is that they're in the space that they're in not because of that voicemail.
No.
This started years ago.
Yes.
And you develop a pattern and you fall into that role. And the pattern is... he's the dreamer, he's the pursuer, and I bend and I adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, or you have something, some life event that happens, and you're like, I don't even like this job. Or you get fired, or you get laid off, or you realize, I am unhappy.
Yep.
I have been a mother my whole life. I have been a wife my whole life. I have not been Melissa.
Right.
So now what is it that I like?
Right.
And that's where you shake up. And that's what she was like. Our relationship doesn't work unless I bend.
Bingo.
Because what you're doing now is you're shaking. You're disrupting that pattern that you've established.
Yes.
For, you know, however long, the length right. of your relationship.
Yeah. Sounds like a book.
Sounds like a book. So I have been reading. We want to thank our sponsor today, Audible.
Good luck editing that, Josh.
Audible is a friend of the podcast. You guys have heard me talk about their services before. I absolutely love, love, love Audible. The book that I'm reading right now is Girl Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis. It is a fantastic book. Immediately upon picking it up, I was like, honestly, I could have wrote this book because it is just really, really good. What I am going to do just while we're here is get my book club started. I hear y'all. Y'all been emailing me. Y'all been DMing me. I did a question and some, but like three people asked me about this book club. I promise you guys, I'm going to have a more interactive book club that is coming once my website is done. That will absolutely be a thing. And I will have links to all of the books using Audible. So that way, you know why I love Audible? Because ain't nobody got time to be sitting down and physically reading a book. I just don't have the time in my day and busy life to do that. So Audible allows me to read on the go. So I can read while I'm while I'm cooking, while I'm cleaning, while I'm commuting, while I'm waiting for the kids to get out of school, like all of these things, traveling on an airplane. And I'm one of those people, I can listen to music, but also I get kind of bored with music. And so I'd rather listen to either a podcast.
You have like 8 songs on your whole iPhone.
I have a lot of songs
on my iPhone. You have like 3 albums. Your iPhone is a Beyonce live album that you skip every song.
Okay.
Bruno Mars album, Hamilton, and like 18 random songs. And you're like, I ain't got no music. Well, you got Apple Music. I got the family plan. Download a thing or two. We got the Gonzi tapes. Download some music. You're like, man, I don't like none of this. I should read.
I never say I don't like it.
I'd be like, every time I get in your car, I'd be like, bruh, you have 35 songs. I have 3,000.
Ain't nobody got time for that. I would much rather listen to a book because they're a sponsor. Listen to a podcast. And honestly, Audible has great podcasts too. So anyway, that's the book that I'm reading. If you are interested in downloading a book from Audible, go to audible.com/lovehour or text lovehour to 500-500 and listen for a change. Again, that's audible.com/lovehour or text lovehour to 500-500 and listen. I will have a list of book recommendations on the website. I will have links to the Audible books on my website as well. And look forward to the interactive or more interactive book club. We'll be talking about the books. And, of course, all of them will be available on Audible.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
All right.
I want to say something about Beth that I saw in you.
Tell us.
In their argument, she said, why did you let me? Uh-huh. And Randall said, you are self-protecting by putting that on me because you didn't have your awakening until 20 years too late.
Man, that was so good.
Right? In fairness, before her mean comment, that was a safe argument. They weren't calling to her names. They were keeping to the problem until she said that in between which anxiety attack. Man, and I was like,
took our whole neck off.
Why you said that, man?
So ruthless.
So I think that comment, and this is not what I was going to say, but that comment and the Randall voicemail is what happens when underlying things, you push them down until you cannot push them down anymore. Then you say something that you mean, but you didn't mean to say.
Yes.
You had that thought.
Yes.
Beth had thought about that a lot.
For sure.
Randall had thought about that a lot. Absolutely. So we say, I didn't mean to say that. That doesn't mean I didn't mean it. You absolutely meant it. It may be mean. It may be harsh.
She said, I shouldn't have said that.
Yes.
I don't think she said, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, it's the same sentiment, though. I felt that way. And when Randall, even though he was right, you want to teach dance, but you're teaching a whole bunch of housewives who will never be nothing, and you calling that an awakening. You wasting time.
Yeah.
We ain't making no money. We got this house, blah, blah, blah. Although it was mean,
sure,
he meant it. He was right. And that's part of the realization that she came
to at the end
later,
of the season.
Right? Mm-hmm. So one problem, not one issue in our marriage, and I'm going to be around. I was Randall all up and through this. I probably just never said it's thing as mean as that voicemail.
Don't you ever.
Right. I know. I probably won't. I hope I don't.
Don't let him.
What's Josh going to do?
Not let you hit send.
I don't text Josh before I do a voicemail. When you were finding yourself, when you first started doing your own YouTube videos, prior to that, when I came home from out of town, you picked me up from the airport, mm-hmm. you were waiting. We were having the time of our lives. We watched TV, went to the movies. You waited for me. Mm-hmm. I went away. I got the money. I came back. I gave you the money. You stored it. You spent time with me. Now, all of a sudden, as you find yourself, I come back. You are in your room shooting for 2-3 hours. I, by myself, I had no one to speak to. I got an Uber home from the airport. So now something that I had been accustomed to, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily something that I wanted. I had just been accustomed sure. to you being like, here's dinner. What do you want to do? Now I come home, stove empty. Ain't no smell like food had been made.
Nope.
Boys, boys ain't cared about me in years. And now all of a sudden you got your own thing that doesn't include me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, YouTube kind of sucks. I hope you get locked out of your account. Because for the first time in forever, doing something that has nothing to do with me.
Right.
You don't need my help. You shoot your own videos. You're editing yourself. And you're finding yourself. And I think that's the thing about this episode in this season. Sometimes you find yourself and you lose your marriage at the same time. Mm. You become the person that you want to become. And you somehow lose the husband or wife that you had been becoming. And the difficulty in marriage is becoming the person you want without sacrificing your marriage. And that compromise is the delicate line we have to walk. Because if you don't keep the marriage and find yourself, you lose a piece of yourself. And if you don't find yourself and keep the marriage, you lose a piece of yourself. Either way, you're unhappy.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
You done talking? Go ahead, yeah.
I was trying not to interrupt you.
You can do you go ahead, baby girl.
What I was gonna say is that the reason why we find ourselves and lose our marriage is because we believe we lost ourselves because of our spouse.
That's so true. You blame them. You resent them.
And
Beth blamed Randall.
And that's what Randall was saying.
Yes.
So what Randall's point was the whole time, which I thought was fair, because again, going back to this unspoken expectation, is that what he said was, if you told me, this is my interpretation, mm-hmm. I would have been.
Yes.
But you didn't.
You expected me to do it without you having to tell me, which is something you say.
I know.
I want you to notice it, because if I have to tell you, you called it out. But if I don't notice it, you still blame me for mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. And I never knew.
Right.
I literally never knew it was something that bothered you. I done licked you another way. but what happens is, you want it's the breakup. I want you to want to do the dishes. Yeah, yeah. I never say it. If you said it, I'd do it, no problem. But if I have to say it, then it doesn't count. But then you blame me for not knowing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not psychopathic. I'm not reading your mind. Not psychopathic.
I was
whatever.
Like, what does that mean?
I'm not a
mind reader. Just
yeah, whatever that word is. I'm trying to think of what professor. Psychic. I'm not a psychic. No. But I get blamed for not knowing. Mm-hmm. Because in your mind, yours or mine, we are communicating so
clearly. Clear as day.
I want to bring up this story with Doughboy and Tahir that so often happens in marriage about communicating clearly and not really communicating at all. We're in New Orleans. Doughboy and Tahir have a bet. Is pickle juice a chaser? Okay. Doughboy believes that it is.
It's not.
Tahir says that it's
I don't drink those, so I don't really know.
Tahir says maybe some people do it in their house and it's like a person does it, mm-hmm. but it's not a common thing mm-hmm. that people do.
Sure.
Doughboy believes that it is because he used to do it. Shout out to sobriety. He got 3 days left to 500.
Really?
Yeah. Well, actually, 1 day by the time this airs. 2 days. So what happens is they make a bet. Doughboy says, I bet you that pickle juice is a chaser and this bar carries pickle juice as a chaser. Tahir says, bet is on. $20. Doughboy goes to the bar, says, hey, do you guys have any pickle juice as a chaser? The lady says, no, we don't carry that. The lady says, no, we don't have any. Okay. Doughboy goes back to Tahir and says, they don't have any. Tahir's like, where's my money? Doughboy's like, what do you mean, where's my money? It's like, they don't have any pickle juice. Doughboy's like, that doesn't mean they don't carry it. They just don't have it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, but the bet was they don't have it.
Sure.
Well, no, they could be out of anything. Just because they have it doesn't mean they don't carry it. Tahir says, was that the bet? That they carried and they're out of it, or that they don't have it. Well, Doughboy is fighting tooth and nail that he's not wrong, because just because they have it doesn't mean sure. they don't carry it. So they call me in to mediate. because they're getting a little upset over this $20.
Were they really?
Yeah. Because Tahir's like, see, that's why I don't bet you. Because you always changing the thing. When it comes to this bet, this weight lean, you're going to change the thing, right? Rules. Doughboy gets more upset about that. I never do that. I don't either. So here's what I asked Doughboy. I said, Doughboy, if they would have had the pickle juice, would you have won the bet? Well, of course, because they had the pickle juice. So I said, well, how does Tahir win the bet? Because if you have it, they have it, you win. If they don't have it, you say that doesn't mean it. So he actually has no way to win the bet.
That was good.
Right? So what Doughboy was saying was the bet in his mind was, do bars ever carry pickle juice as a chaser? That's what he thought they were betting.
Got it.
Tahir is betting, does this bar have pickle juice?
In this moment right now today.
Doughboy said.
Right.
So what happens in marriages is we communicate like Doughboy and Tahir.
Right.
We both say something that we think is very clear, and the other person hears something else.
Totally different.
And we don't communicate very clearly, and we both get mad because I'm right. Right? Because what Doughboy said was, do you have pickle juice? If you don't, if you do, I win. What he meant was, are you familiar with pickle juice being a chaser, you being a bartender?
Yes.
Which is what he should have made the bet, but that's not what he said.
Sure.
And in marriage, you say something and you think you're communicating one thing and you don't communicate that. And then you get mad at your partner because you thought you were communicating that very clearly.
Right.
So what Beth, when Beth, and Randall got into it, she said, I want you to drop out of the race, mm-hmm. which Randall said, I will do so at any time.
He sure did.
Right? When it comes down to it, he says, she says, I want out. He says, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think Randall made his biggest mistake.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
You know, I'm all about agreements being made and breaking him. He said he would do something, and reiterated then, it.
Yeah.
And when he said, I got to see it through. She almost broke.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in our marriage time and time and time and time and time again. We think what we say is, in theory, I would do something. But when it comes down to it, well, I got these people to let down. Mm-hmm. I've been campaigning, blah, blah, blah. And but that's not what you said.
Yeah.
What you said was, if it ever comes down to it, become down to me and you, I will back out.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, later on, he did that. But in that moment, he didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the thing that's crazy about their marriage, all this stuff is happening at one time.
Yeah.
Right? He's finding himself in the city council. She's finding herself in the dance. Their income has dropped. So they have this big house. They don't have as much money as they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
They've got kids that are growing up. Like, all this stuff is happening at the same time. We only had one of those things happening, and look how difficult it was for us.
Yeah.
And now I can see how you look at each other and like, you know what? They don't love me because they allowed me to not be the best version of myself. When it's your responsibility to find yourself and do your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't do it, you get mad at me. Luckily, thankfully, I don't think you blamed me. Unless you did in your heart.
No, I didn't. But I could definitely see how 20, 30 years, because this is what you see, Kev. You've been able to follow your dreams for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it, how can it be my fault that I haven't been? It's your fault because you were too busy doing what you could do that there was no space for me to do what I wanted to do. And that's how you blame your spouse.
That's it. That's it.
So,
because in order for him to chase his dream, it meant you have to dial yours back.
Exactly.
Because we got the kids. Got to take care of the kids. Somebody has to give.
Exactly.
And what happens is you think I'm giving because I'm doing all of this for us.
Right.
When the truth is, I'm doing it for me.
Oh, yes.
The councilman for Randall thing had nothing to do with his family.
No.
I lied to myself. And I'll admit this. Huh?
Often.
Oh, yeah. And I had to have a realization with myself. I told myself I do stand-up comedy for my family. I want to take care of them. I want to put this on for them. I want to put money away for them, which is all true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I do it for myself. I cover myself by saying I'm going to give my money to my kids and pay for the college, which I will. Hope they don't go to college. Hope they just follow their dreams and start a business.
I have a college fund for these kids.
Yeah, I hope they take it out and buy a business and start that. Forget college.
Anyway.
We have a debate about this.
We do.
We'll table it for another episode. But the truth is, I remember I watched the movie Boyhood and it changed my life. The mom gave up all her dreams for her kids. Her kids grew up and moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And she realized her next big milestone in life is her funeral. And she hasn't chased any of her dreams. And so I told my boys, I love you, say Joe. but my job, stand up, it's going to take me out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I can't not do that. I have to do it because I love it. Mm-hmm. What I'll do is curb it. I might not do it as much. Mm-hmm. I won't go on tour for 3 months straight because I love you and I want to spend time with you. But I also can't not do it at all, because then I won't live my life the best way
right.
that I live my life. So the compromise is, I told Melissa, we popped up on Lecrae's tour, and he goes on tour like most everyone in the world, 2-3 months at a time. Mm-hmm. It's more efficient. It's cheaper. It's better. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All around, yeah. It's better. I say, Lissa, I speak with Lecrae. I speak with Toby. And they said, dude, like this. I ain't Lecrae's wife. You ain't Toby's wife. You better bring your butt home on Monday through Thursday. Do it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I ain't trying to be out on the road. Y'all stanking me in for 2 months. This is what totally happened? Exaggerated.
It's not, that's not exact all how I respond to him. He always does me like this. I'm really not that hood and ghetto and be doing all these motions. I will do this. But what I said was, because he was like, what we could do is go out on the road for 3 months and the kids would be gone and we could just spend the whole summer, basically. And I'm like, again, no. This is what happens with Kevin. Okay. This is what happens in life. You said something a minute ago that triggered my mind, but I'm going to go back on this point. When I was working full time and I would ask Kevin to go to my events for my job, he never wanted to go. He's gone to one and it was very begrudgingly. I go to Kevin's events, and if I don't, he throws the biggest fit. He wants me there. He wants me to go. He wants me to do this. And I just told him the other day, the problem with you is you believe I'm more friends with your friends than I am. Mm-hmm. So his coworkers, they're his coworkers, and he believes because he has these events and I have to go that I'm like, oh yeah, I know these people, I love them. I mean, and that's no shade, no disrespect, that I don't not like them, but I'm not with them 10 hours a day mm-hmm. the way that you are yeah. 5 days a week. Yeah. So the same way that you feel about, and I'm just not that type of like people person like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it took you. Yeah, you should know this about me right now, but you don't be knowing. I don't be liking groups. I don't be liking small talk. I don't want
to
hug people.
Don't say words to me. Don't speak words at me. My ears don't like it.
To be honest, I would much rather be on a stage talking to people than talking to people.
Hey, great speech. You're in my space.
So weird. I don't like it. Please don't talk to me. Don't hug me. Don't touch me. Like, I get so, like, socially awkward. I'm so weird. I'm like, seriously.
You're an introvert until it's time to be on the stage.
I am. Because
there's a separation between you and the audience.
Because there's a separation between me and the audience. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I literally just had to have that conversation. It used to hurt my feelings. And I would do, and this is, again, big picture. Mm-hmm. We're zoomed in on us, but I'm going to zoom out. So with us, I'm like, I feel like I'm always accommodating for you. I am always going to your little events. And there was one event, you just brought it up. Oh, don't yeah, say. There was one event that he wanted me to go to. And I even called my sister and was like, I'm not going. And she was like, why? I was like, because I just don't want to. This is not my friend. They didn't invite me. No, they didn't. Listen to me carefully. Part of the reason that check my email right now, you won't find an invitation.
Plus one, me is you.
Child, bye.
Expectation.
If you can invite my sister, child, you could do a joint invite. I don't care. It's disrespectful to me. That's part of the reason why on the Love Hour for the conference, I generated the letter myself, but I told Candace, address the wife.
And not the husband?
No. But address her as well. Like, it was so important to me because that all the time happens and it irks my nerves, to be honest, because
that came from your soul.
It does, because that's the base. Mm-hmm. That's bending, and that's not getting the respect yeah. that is deserved upon the spouse, the wife that is, man, she's in it too. Mm-hmm. Even when I thought, oh, I'm about to get personal. I mean, I'm a little bit. We're here. We're going to do it. Joshua, you know about this, but we're here. Even when this is a very specific example, just came to me right now. And I was so irritated in the moment. So this is me being transparent. Joshua, here we go. During the tour last year, a hashtag was started. And Melissa was nowhere. And not that I cared about the hashtag. I actually thought the hashtag was like super, super sweet. We thought you was going to tell. Did y'all ask that I was going to tell? No. How long y'all been knowing me that I was going to tell? Oh, 3 days. When I tell you my feelings for her, I was like, are you serious? Oh, and I don't want to get emotional, but I just got emotional a little bit. And I was so irritated because I was like, number one, y'all don't even know me to like make this type of assumption about me. That's number one. But number two, for some reason, people believe, and I'm saying this gently because I don't want it to come off the way it can come off. So I really want you to hear my heart. Kevin did all of this. Mm. Look what Kevin did. Kevin didn't have a job. That allowed him to be in this space right now. When Kevin wasn't working, Melissa made sure we had a house and health insurance and dental and your eyes were working so you can get contacts and glasses. But because those moments were 15 years ago, mm-hmm. it's like, and that's even when I was doing a post a little while ago and I was like, God, I don't know where I fit in this. I just feel like, where am I? Where do I fit? What is my role? And that's where I got that propeller example, yep. because I was like, without that season of literally holding it down and saying, these women's got it backwards. If they think they're your number one fan and I'm the one holding it down. Mm-hmm. That's why that hashtag pissed me off, which is why that hashtag pissed me off. Because it's
no like, hashtag.
Ain't no hashtag.
You wasn't with the shoe at the gym, cuz. Ain't no hashtag. Ain't no hashtag. Bar on you, cuz.
Don't start another hashtag.
Who was down here making dinner, cuz?
Don't start another hashtag, period. Okay? That done. But for real, though, I always feel
it's like. It's going to be whatever.
I always feel like the wife and the work that she does goes unnoticed, unthanked.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thankless job.
Yes.
To be a wife.
Yes.
To be a mother. It is thankless.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the husband, and that's always why I always say I am team first wife.
Yes.
Part of the reason why I say that is because I know the work that I've put in to allow this moment to be here.
Yes.
I know what it took. I watch behind the scenes, but while you are, the reason why a husband is allowed to excel and become his fully realized self, and that's what, even Beth was saying, I'm the one doing all the bending. Like, do you understand mm-hmm. that you've allowed to, I want to do this now. Okay, let me adjust this way. I want to do this now. Okay, I'm going to adjust this way. If at any point she's like, I'm done adjusting, which is why they were having the fight in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment I say, no more,
mm-hmm.
I am done adjusting. I want things to be like this. You now have to come to a halt.
Right.
And that's the thanklessness.
Absolutely. It's funny because I thank you. Right?
I know.
No. I know. I thank you. And I know that's not what you're saying.
I'm being clear.
But the world, that's the fans, that's Kev on Stage Studios, the employees, they reap the benefits of work done before they even met me.
Exactly.
When I was figuring out how to be funny on stage with no money, you were watching.
Well, y'all had a $15,000 credit card bill.
$12,500. Let's not exaggerate.
Oh, no, you get to exaggerate. I'm exaggerating. We're rounding up to $20,000.
$500,000
credit card.
But before
you. And who was paying it? Oh, y'all was this. I take it back. Y'all had like $3 in YouTube.
We did.
They did pay. Actually, and I made a point. I was like, I'm not paying that.
Yes, I was there. But what happens is nobody knew that.
Right.
Nobody before I was Kev on Stage.
Mm-hmm.
I was just coming to the stage, Kevin Fredericks,
and Melissa right? was at home.
And Melissa
with two
was
babies.
At home with diaper one and
barely potty barely trained two.
Trained two, peeing on the ground. Well, my penis, I cannot control it. It's everywhere. What's for dinner? Like I've that's never been the like one question. To cook dinner or
ever.
None of that. That's just not my testimony. Amen. I thank God for Kev, Uber Eats and Uber Eats and
listen,
Postmates.
It got so bad at one point, literally, you guys, I kid you not. Kevin told me he wanted to be Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And came home with this story. and literally said to me, you know, Tyler Perry was homeless before he made it.
I ain't finna live in no car. No, that ain't my testimony.
What I said was, that'll never be my testimony. Not what you're
saying. We should be homeless.
No, you were alluding to it's about to get much worse before it gets better. And I'm actually, I'm here for better or for worse. But what I'm not here for is two able, educated bodies talking about we're homeless. Nah, bro, I work at McDonald's first. Because one thing I have never been afraid of is getting a job. Nice. I just threw, and I mean 3 weeks ago, threw out my work clothes. Because I was holding on to them on the just in case. Mm-hmm. Like, the real. Kevin, we wasn't going. It wasn't working. I was like, Jesus, I don't
know. I'll get another job.
I don't think me and Kev going to make it through this path. Like, I might have to get another job.
You know what's funny, though, about that? That was just you bending again.
Oh, absolutely.
I will sacrifice my dreams.
Absolutely.
So Kevin can continue to travel. The boys can have stability. I'll go back to my regular job and health insurance.
To the point where I remember texting my old coworker. He was like, oh my God, I got a new job. And I was like, oh, for real, where? They got a sales or no?
I didn't know that. You know what else, though? Part of that could have been you being afraid of this, too.
It's twofold. Part of it, well, the only reason why I say no is because this was before the conference.
What do you mean?
This is before thick planning of the conference. The conference, I believe, was God saying, let me get this child something to allow her to have some purpose.
She's bugging me, crying every night. Because if she take this little love hour conference,
doesn't have purpose, she is going to go back to work.
Yes.
And I kid you not, I was going to.
I'm aware. I was living in the house with you.
I was like we had conversations where I was like, for this tour, I won't go.
Oh, my God, you broke my heart.
I won't. I know it. He was not here for it, but I was like, on some for real, I won't go.
No. You said, I don't want to go.
Well, I meant that too.
You can do this without me. You don't need me. Just do your little comedy show.
Let me say all that.
Oh, joke. Ha ha. He
lying. It didn't go down like that.
Do you love me? Are you riding? Will you never ever leave from beside me?
But in real life, I absolutely was like, I won't go. I don't want it. Whatever the words were, the bottom line was I wasn't going to be on this tour.
You know what, though? I just thought about something. So towards the
which end would have led to resentment, by the way.
Oh, my God. Resentment. Randall and Beth, the neat bow at the end was he was willing to and had looked into resigning from city council.
Yes.
At the same time, she had the realization that she wanted to teach children with potential with her own, you know,
build her own
dance studio, which is Your Love Hour conference. Her compromise is she said, I'll do that in Philly so we can be together. Mm-hmm. His compromise was he was willing to lose his job. Mm-hmm. Our compromise was the tour will be, the Love Hour will be shorter, mm-hmm. and I'll take more time off from the road afterwards. The thing you have to do in your marriage, you have to find the door. That's what they had to find.
Such a great analogy.
Such a great analogy. They were talking about how they were in an escape room and they were lost and they had to find the door and it was their way out. And she wasn't seeing the door. So whatever it is in your marriage, I got to tell you about it. I forgot. Whatever it is in your marriage, you have to find a way that you can find yourself and keep your marriage.
Right.
And that is not always easy. Mm-hmm. That was what was difficult for us. We didn't have This Is Us to be a guide. Mm-hmm. It's actually happening at the same time this season was happening.
Yeah.
And maybe watching the show would have helped us. But I realized that at some point, if you lose yourself in your marriage, you lose your marriage and yourself.
So true.
And that's where I think people can, you know what? The reason I cheat is because this person reminds me of what I wanted to be. You remind me of when I was young. You speak to me. You thank me. You make me feel like my husband hasn't made me feel in years. Mm-hmm. And that could have nothing to do with whether he says or not. It's you're not seeing me mm-hmm. as my full self. Mm-hmm. You're not allowing me to express my dreams and chase those. Somebody else can come and just encourage me.
Sure.
And now I feel like, oh, you see me. You get me.
So how do you recommend or what do you see in real life? Because their real life door was to move.
Yeah.
Okay. So in normal circumstances, not necessarily, I'm talking principles. Mm-hmm. So like zoom all the way out. And what are principles that will allow people to get out of this space?
I think one thing I think the characters did a good job of is along the way, acknowledging their faults, which I think is much harder in real life marriage. Mm-hmm. Randall, although he wilded out, he always was like, here's why I wilded out. I'm willing to go back. That's the one part of the argument part. The other thing is to say, what do I see for myself and how much of that will make me satisfied, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Within a marriage.
Yeah.
So as a comedian, the best scenario business-wise is I go on tour for 3 months, mm-hmm. right? As a husband and father, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So my compromise to myself and my family is I'll go on tour for 8 months or 6 months, and that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's more taxing. It's more expensive. But in order to have my dream and my family and wife, this is the setup for me. Yours was, I think, I want to do the conference, and I want to do the conference with me as the lead with my team, mm-hmm. not me, Kevin, saying, oh, let me have, I got a boy that does this. I got a homegirl that does that. Even if they can do the same thing, you, what was important to you was, let me do this vision with my team as I see fit, mm-hmm. because that ownership is what I'm missing. Mm-hmm. Another thing that was important in the show is Beth felt valued at her job. She was good at her job.
Oh, you talked about
she lost her job, mm-hmm. and she lost that value. Remember one day you snapped at me at soccer. I'll never forget it. You were so good at your job, and I never saw you at work. Mm-hmm. So at your job, you are killing it. They want to give you raises and bumps, and people come to you when they can't figure stuff out. You never forget anything. You always hold it down. I don't know how good of an employee you are. I mean, I know you're great at everything, but I don't know nothing about your aerospace job and how you contracts administrate well. When you lost that job, you lost those people praising you, and you lost that feeling of value. Mm-hmm. So not only you're missing value, now you're going into a different space where you're not as confident in mm-hmm. entertainment because you don't know that as well mm-hmm. as you know aerospace. Now you're brilliant and intelligent, mm-hmm. but you don't do this every single sure. day the way I do. There's other people on the team who do it every day. So now that value, even if you kept your job, you still don't know entertainment, but you'd had two losses,
sure.
new field and loss of value. Mm-hmm. So I needed to value you even more mm-hmm. to help that transition. One thing you said in the show when Randall told J1, this is my wife mm-hmm. and I'm doing it because this is my wife. You were like, see, Kev, that's what I was looking for. And I'm like, who was I going to say that to?
I don't know when, but
when was this going to happen where I could say stuff to somebody?
But this is a good point, though. A wife always wants, I'm saying always, but there's always exception to the rules, so don't be in my inbox. I'm like, I don't want that. Generally speaking, a husband to protect her. Yes. That's always important. Mm-hmm. Even when Lauren London just lost Nipsey Hussle. One of her things was my protector.
My sanctuary, my protector.
That is so important. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be respected.
Yes.
So it is just as important to validate as it is to say, girl, I don't know if that was a good idea. And that's why I think she ended up turning to dance. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want you to coddle me.
Right.
I don't want you to pander. I want you to say, that's a good idea, because it's a good idea.
Right.
I don't want you to say, that's a good idea, and because you're my wife, it's a good idea. Even though in reality, if someone else said, I would have been like, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Right. I think that's totally fair, because that's
and all that's about the value you get. Sorry. That's the value I would get at work. Mm-hmm. Because at work, even if I came and I was like, I think that we should do this, and they would be like, well, let me tell you why that's not a good idea. And I might be like, oh, okay. Or I would be like, I don't care what y'all say. Y'all are wrong, and I still think my idea is good.
That's how
but I always, I know.
That's the woman I know.
And that's how I be talking.
I don't care what you say. I know that
low key at work, they be like, I'm me, just like this all the time at work. But what happens is that it's mutual respect.
Yeah.
I know that when I say something and it is good, I can trust that you believe that it's good. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have someone tell me, girl, nah, than yes, and you really thinking, girl, nah. Because then I don't know where you actually stand.
Right.
And there is value in being told no.
And honesty. Yeah.
And that's what Sterling, his name is Randall, was missing.
Well, I met him, so I call him Stir. You know. I think that's so important, too, because I think it's so interesting because, like, you have a lot of great ideas, and we go back and forth. You actually have way more good ideas than bad. I'm trying to think of something you have that's a bad idea where I was like, nah, let's see if I can do that.
But you never want to tell me, and I always be like, no, tell me for real, though.
No, I tell you, you just don't listen because you always want to be right. So when I tell you, be like, I hear you, but nah. You know. Josh, no. Oh, I know. Actually, it's more about you. Everybody on the team sees your potential. Mm-hmm. Everyone but yo, look at you getting uncomfortable and sweat. Let me drink a little bit of water. I'm thirsty. Four women only. Melissa speaking to women about women without the face of Kevin. Okay, you should be doing this on your own. You always want to feel valued until we tell you you are great on your own. You should do this on your own. You should do this conference. Oh, I need Kim. I need him. My security blanket. I don't want to do him.
Get off me.
We just came from a meeting, right? TV producer, friends of ours.
They signed on for the conference.
Signed on for the conference. Want to develop a show idea. I pitched them a show about Melissa. Everybody in this room is loving it. Melissa, I don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? I got to have Kim. I'm going to get to have him. Got to have him. I got a new protector. I need him a safety blanket. Sometimes that safety blanket can suffocate you.
No, I don't disagree.
And you have to get out from my shadow. Because who you are reaching has nothing to do with me. You think them people may have
followed
you.
You're not about to turn this to an encouragement.
No, I am absolutely.
No, we're about to change.
You are using a parachute. A parachute used too early is dangerous.
That was a good analogy.
And you are using me as a parachute the moment you jump out the plane. You have to get into the right zone for a parachute. And you just, I'm going to pull it. No, that's wrong. There's some part of your life that you were activating without me. When you were teaching at church, you did that before you even met me. You were theme speaking. Pastor and First Lady saw that in you prior to ever meeting me. And prior to me being Kev on stage, you were activating that stuff. So now you got, I met me and I become this big personality. And that had nothing to do with you. I wasn't Kev on stage at church. When you were speaking and teaching women in marriage conference in Sunday school, that had nothing to do with me. So now I done got big and you're like, well, let me just hide in the shadows. Nah, get off me. You got to do your own thing.
What you don't do me like that.
I'm there to help you, but I can't hold you back.
Yeah, but don't do me like that again.
That's what you be doing.
One of the things that they did so well in the show, and we kind of alluded to it, but have not like clearly said, is clear communication, not just communication.
Absolutely.
Clear communications of thoughts, ideas, and meanings.
Yes.
So not just like high level. We talked about this one time in, I think when we had the therapist on, I can't think of her name right now, Nicole, on the show. And we were talking about, we want to have a conference. That's like a very high level thought. But my understanding or my interpretation of I want to have a conference is 1,000 people. Your interpretation of I want to have a conference is 5,000 people. And we don't even know where there is a misunderstanding brewing.
Yes.
So
and to us, that's both scratching the surface.
Yes.
My ambition and your ambition were totally different numbers.
Yes. And it can go even deeper next year, this fall. Wait, what? Mm-hmm. So I think that is a lot of times going back to
I said next fall.
Well, example. One of the things that I think is so important is that you communicate not high-level thoughts, but detailed thoughts.
One thing you communicated really clearly to me, oh, I got a good one.
Tell us.
This is a good one.
Tell us right now.
You are setting up the conference.
Okay.
I want to help you. I call in a favor from a friend. I present this to you. List. This is going to make your life easier. I think you are going to be like, oh, thanks, husband. You're showing me that you believe in my dream and you want to help support my dream. Much to my chagrin, you're like, I don't want you to help. I don't need you to take this over. So I'm like, forget you then. Do it all by yourself. I ain't never going to help you again. Right, which is random. I'll never speak again. I'll never eat
chips again. I hate nachos.
I'll never eat nachos again. What you were really communicating was, I want to own this because I need something of my own from beginning to end. You have your stuff of your own. I need your support.
Yes.
But I don't need you to take over. Because if you take it over, it may get done correctly, fast, efficient, whatever that is. But it just becomes another thing you've done as opposed to something that I've done. And the same way Beth wanted to open her dance studio and do it her way, you wanted to open up the Love... you wanted to do the Love Hour Conference and do it your way. And you need my help for comedians or ideas and blah, blah, blah. So when we had that conversation, I initially told you, okay, that's fine. I'll step back. Tell me when you need me. Mm-hmm. At first, you took offense to that, right? You were like, oh, here he go.
Because the way you said it.
Because the way I said, I was a little upset. Yeah, I ain't going to hold you.
You would say just like that, but it's fine.
Oh, but I want to make stuff look good for the podcast.
Because I always talk like this. And when you there, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll do what you want.
Humble servant. I took my hat off. Ma'am, I do what you want me to do when you want me to do it. I do declare I help you when you help it. But that's what I said. My tone said something different. But later on, you were like, you know what? That is what I need you to do. When I need your help and support, be there to bounce off ideas, suggest. But I reserve all veto rights and power and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you had an artist budget for whatever it was. And I was like, you're probably not going to spend that. Mm-hmm. And here's where I can help. Mm-hmm. I can tell this person to do it for this. You know, you end up paying a certain person more than they had to do.
No, I didn't.
But I respect it because I would have done the same thing. Right. But what I think we needed to do was fall into those roles where you are the lead and I'm the support, where in generally you've been the lead and I support. And every team should have a leader and support. One thing we did really well at ADD, in some things you're the leader and I follow you and I'm a PA. Some productions you're the lead or I'm the lead and you're the PA. Mm-hmm. And we both need to play those roles. So in the Love Hour, I am what you've been to me. I'll help. I'll do this. Let's plan. Let's budget. Let's, you know, like, you know, brainstorm ideas. But you need to be the owner of this project in Airtable or Slack or Google Drive.
Google Drive, I prefer. Okay, did you have any other thoughts?
No.
Did we cover everything?
We covered enough.
We covered enough.
I think this is what leads people to divorce.
I do too.
I think because we blame you. I lost myself.
Yeah.
What you're really saying is I found myself and I lost the marriage part because those two things couldn't be congruent anymore. I couldn't be the wife I've always been and the person I wanted to be.
Right. But I think we have to be careful. I just want to really quickly want to be careful that we don't mistake finding yourself for automatically losing your marriage.
No, I think you have to do the work to maintain both.
And I think if you find yourself either in a Randall, if you find yourself in Beth, or if you find yourself in what I am saying, the first thing you have to do before you even talk to your spouse is have a conversation with yourself.
Yeah.
You have to understand, this is how I feel. And not just like, I feel like I lost myself, because it's like, okay, well, go find it, girl. What you want to do? Like, you have to be clear about, like, this is all of these years you have done this, and I'm not blaming you, but I have bended and allowed you to do those things. And I'm at a point where I realize I am unhappy. And because I am unhappy, I want our dynamic is going to shift and change, because I want to pursue X, Y, and Z. And I need your support to do that.
Bingo.
But you can't just be like, I'm not doing this no more. And all of a sudden I'm doing this and I'm switching gears. And we haven't even had a baseline conversation that we are changing.
Yep.
And that's where friction comes from. And honestly, you'll fast track a divorce that way.
Yes. What Beth was saying was, I need you to support me the way I supported you.
Yes.
I need you to take over and help with the kids the way I did when you worked the job and I took the back seat. Mm-hmm. I need to take the front seat for a while, and I need you to take the back seat to support me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the cop out they were trying to do was with their mom. Mm-hmm. Hey, mom, you help with the kids. That solves one of our problems. And then they couldn't have that.
Right.
So now they had to do something where they both actually – they both didn't lose a little.
No.
Right? But in real life marriage, that's not a perfectly bold TV show ending. You might have to lose a little piece of something. And that's actually what happened in our life.
Yeah.
I had to lose the tour in the traditional sense in order to maintain the family.
Right.
And I don't know what you lost.
What?
Oh, yeah, I think you got everything you wanted.
Hello?
The conference.
The point is that
crazy
clear communication is I think that's the baseline, and like very clear articulate conversation with your spouse. Do not, like, this is my own personal advice, but we do this just for entertainment. If you need an actual therapist, go find one. My real life advice is to be clear about what you want before you go have a conversation with your spouse.
Yes.
Be clear about what you feel like you've lost. don't blame, because it's really not their fault. Again, you just establish these roles and this dynamic, and you just fall into place. If our dynamic is Kev is the star and I'm supportive, we're just always going to follow that no matter where mm-hmm. we are. That's always going to be what we do. And if, as an example, the conference, I have to have a conversation that says, hey, so I know this is like typically what we do, but like this time around, this is what I'm thinking.
Yep.
So that way we don't fall back into that same dynamic. And now I'm irritated and, can I say pissed? Okay.
Pissed TF off.
And now I'm pissed off because we've fallen into this dynamic where I'm like clearly wanting to reject it. Yeah. And so I think for women, we just, and so again, that's what I was going to do. I was like, I'll just find another job. It's me falling back into that same dynamic. Yes. It's if Beth would have said, fine, whatever, you can do this, I'll just, you know, give up on my dream again. It's falling back into that same dynamic. So you have to be clear about what you want. Be clear about what you want to yourself, and then have that conversation with your spouse, because you, that transition, you can lose your marriage and you don't have to, but you just have to do it right.
Right. I don't need to be the star and you the sky. One of us gets to be the sun and the moon mm-hmm. and we take our turns to shine.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
Y'all don't want to put that as a tweet ground? I don't care if I used it last week. It still fit, cuz. Put it in there in the story, Serena.
That's a shot at a different time.
I don't care. I liked it twice.
Do you have any other words, Kevin?
Nah.
Okay. I think this was a fantastic episode. The R&B episode of This Is Us was absolutely fantastic. It was really, really, really good. I hope we were able to, like, give our thoughts on it all in all.
I do have one thing I want to say.
Okay. Don't eat all the cheese off the chips.
I'm definitely that person. And I actually gave you some shrimp today. You guys can't lose yourself in the movement, the moment. You better not never ever let it go. You only get one shot.
Do not miss your chance to blow.
Because opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
I think this is twice we've mentioned that Eminem song.
It's a great song, man. It is.
Okay, that's it for real this time.
All right, cuz.
All right, thank you guys so much for joining us on today's Love Hour. We are officially in the month of April. The Love Hour conference registration will be dropping this month. I just confirmed two more speakers.
Today.
I'm so excited. We have like two possibles and then two more speakers that need to be confirmed. And then we are done. We will have the flyers out here shortly and registration will drop this month. I'm so excited. If you're not on the Love Hour mailing list, you absolutely should join. We're going to start sending out correspondence this week. Just text Love Hour to 555-888. That's Love Hour 555-888. I think that's it. We are going to do next week. Probably next week is going to be the Love Hour conference episode.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
No, that.
No. That's Hawaii's next week, isn't it? Okay, I lied. In 2 weeks.
Dang, cuz.
That's crazy. Yes.
Oh, my body ain't ready. I'm going to be there, though.
He's going to get the body.
Beach going to get whatever body I give it, cuz.
So in 2 weeks, we will have a full episode dedicated to the Love Hour conference. We will discuss the topics. We will discuss the speakers. And then registration will drop shortly thereafter. So, yes, very much. I'm very much excited. I'm very, very, very much excited. Please make sure that you join the Love Hour mailing list. Again, that's Love Hour 2555-888. And I think that's all the church announcements that we have. That's it.
Bye.
Bye.